Okay, we're doing Shavuos because next week I won't be here, and the week after that is Shavuos. So just to give everyone the heads up, I left the Puzma after I have some invitations to my son's wedding. So just to give everyone the heads up, so the Sunday following Shavuos we will learn, but not the Sunday after, because I'm going to be going out for my son's chasana. Shavuot Tov Mutzlachas. Okay, and I think it'll be I'll be there for two Sundays. Okay. Fine. Shavuos. So the main question I want to deal with today is the you know we know that the Chagim, you know, they open up portals in time to draw strength from the original experience that we don't have in this day and age, you know, like Pesach, right? So the power of Chayrus opens up, which aside from the fact that we're in Golos, you know, but we're enslaved to the Yetzer Hara. So during Pesach, we have our Chayrus from the Yetzer Hara. You know, we detox, as we learned in the Derech Hashem, that the Chometz represents the Yetzer Hara, and for 7 days a year, we are in a detox from the Yetzer Hara. So we understand what Pesach gives us that we don't have year-round. You know. Hey, Sukkos, right, you know, the Tzilo de Memenusa, being under like the Hashpa of the Anoni HaKovet that surrounded us in the Midbar, so we don't have that year-round, and we get it again on Sukkos. Right? Rosh Hashanah, obvious, you know, what's special is the Day of Judgment that we don't have year-round, and then there's, you know, the shofar, the opportunity to do tshuva and to refashion the upcoming year. Yom Kippur is something we don't have year-round. You know, the special opportunity to do tshuva and have all our veris washed away. Right? Chanukah and Purim, the koach of nitzachon, victory over our enemies, comes back. So what do we have on Shavuos that we don't have year-round? We have Torah. Right? It's, you know, Akarshul gave the Torah already. He gave the Torah already. So what do we have on Shavuos that we don't have year-round? Now we understand what the other Chagim give us that we don't have year-round. Right? You know, Shavuos, it's all the same Torah. Right? So we have to define, what does Shavuos give us that we don't have year-round? Okay, so there's some classical questions, like why it's called Chag Matan Torasenu. Why is it not called Chag Kabal Sator? Yeah, why is the emphasis on the giving, not on the receiving? That's the so now there's another theme in Shavuos that doesn't get much attention, even though it's there all the time. Whenever the Torah talks about it, it doesn't get much attention because Bavnoseinu Rabim, the Zman of the Churban, we don't have these things anymore. Right? We don't have the Shtei Halechem. It was brought specially. It had a very interesting halacha that we were not allowed to use any new grain for any korbanos until after the Shtei Halechem. So it's like, just like there was an Isser Chadash that for civilians, so that the Omer was Matir. You know, like there's no problem with Chodesh right now for the next 6 months, you know, roughly. I mean, was, you know, everything's, you know, Yoshon. Everything is, you know whatever's going out into the market is wheat that was cut before the Omer. That's now, you know, the problem of, you know, where you have to, you know, check and there's a Hechsher or there's make sure it's Yoshon. That's during the winter months when the summer wheat is hitting the market. Summer wheat's a problem, Chodesh, until the next Omer. All right, so, you know, there's the Omer's Matir Chodesh in Gvulim, you know, for civilian purposes, right, civilian use. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it was usur to use any new grain for any of the Menachos until the Shtei Alechem. It's Matir Chodesh in the Mikdash. Right, so, aside from the fact that, you know, they're very unique and that they were Chometz also, right, and maybe we'll, if we have time, maybe we'll address that. But the main thing is that that's called the Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem. Right? And another thing that that there is that from Shavuos onwards, right, begins the chiyuv to bring the bikurim. Now, it doesn't have to be brought on Shavuos, but you could. But it goes from Shavuos and onwards, right, the first of the Sheva Saminim, you know, any one of the first of the seven have to, you know, the very first one. When you see it bloom, you're supposed to tie a red string around it, you know, tie a sign around it, and then you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's Bikurim. And all of these things are all called Bikurim. The Bikurim per se, where, you know, it doesn't have to be on Shavuos, but it starts then. And then there's the Shtei Alechem is also called Bikurei Ktzir Chitim, like the first of the cut of the wheat. You know, and that sets the tone from that point onwards. You know, the new grain is mutter for use in the Beis HaMikdash. It starts from the Shtei Alechem, and they're both called Bikurim. Shtei Alechem is a special bread brought, you know, in addition to the Lechem Aponim that was, you know, from the regular Seder Avoda, that, you know, week in, week out. So Lechem Aponim, as an example, had to be brought from old grain until the Shtei Alechem is brought. Then it's mutter to use the stuff that grew, you know, this winter. And then, you know, it's a chadash is still usher in the mikdash until the Shtei Alechem is brought. And that's called the Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. We just read in this week's parasha, V'grafta Mincha Chadasha LaHashem, that's the Shtei Alechem. It's new because it's from the new grain that grew this year. And it's also called Bikurei Ktzir Chitim in Parshas Kisisa, or Bikurei Maasecha in Parshas. You know, Bikurim, that, you know, it goes, you know, the first of the new wheat is also called Bikurim. So it's from the din of Bikurim in our civilian affairs, you know, that also we have to bring Bikurim. That also starts on Shavuos.
So who brought this Shtei Alechem?
That's communal. It's like a Korban Tzibur.
So it came out of the communal funds, but who actually...
Yes. No, the Kohanim, you know, it's about in the Mikdash, you know, the Kohanim took care of it, like they take care of all the menachos, you know, all the, you know, offerings that come from grain. Right, I want to analyze that theme, because it's no small thing. It is recurrent. The Torah always speaks about this. So there's a regarding the Bikurim.
I'm listening to you. He's not here.
Okay, no problem. Right, regarding the Bikurim, it's a Medrash Tanchuma. In Parshas Kisavo, that says that Tzipa Moshe Baruch HaKarosh Shasi Beis HaMikdash Lichorev VaBikurim Libotel. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Baruch HaKodesh, even back in his day, that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and the Bikurim would not be brought. Right? Amad V'tiklam Yisol Shu Mispalim Gimel Pamim B'yom, and he instituted we have to daven three times a day. It's a Tanchuma. Amazing thing, right? Because you don't have Bikurim once a year, that's why, you know, we have to daven three times a day, every day. It's amazing. Yeah. Right? So, what's the pshat of that? You know, we have to daven three times a day, every day, because we don't bring Bikurim anymore.
Right? I always thought it was the
answer. Why did I? No, I mean, what? There's a Tanchuma. There's not, there are different shittas. There's a Tanchuma. Okay. Even according to Tanchum, it doesn't mean he's told you what time times is money atvila and nusach atvila. That's how it says. Right? This day is called, you know, parshas ubiyoma bikurim bach kriyvchem mincha chadosh al Hashem b'shavuos seichem the yom of bikurim. When we bring the mincha chadosh, this idea of chadosh into the idea of bikurim, be it on the grain, be it, you know, the chiyuv that people have on their shivas aminim. So, to look into this a little bit, and then we'll understand of, you know. Yes, the, you know, the, you know, so we know, we'll open up first with another question. You know, the word Bikurim and Bechor is the same word.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a firstborn, first fruit. It's first fruit, first grain. Yeah. So, the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Pei Tes that in the future, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go to the Avos and he's going to complain about the behavior of their children, Am Yisrael. He's going to go to Avram Vinu and say, Banecha Chatuli. And Avram Vinu is not going to have an answer. Say, Yimacha Kiddush Mecha. You have to wipe him out, Kiddush Hashem, you know, to show that your crime doesn't pay, and do it. And he's going to go to Yaakov Avinu and say, you know, Banecha Chatuli. Yaakov is going to say the same thing. All right, if you, you know, he's not going to have an answer and say, okay, Yimacha Kiddush Mecha. If you know, you have to kill them to be Mekadosh Sheitran, to show the crime doesn't pay, then do it. All right, then he's going to go to Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu is going to be the one that defends us. And Yitzhak Avinu is the one who says, he retorts, Ribar Shalom, Bonai, Velo, Banecha, and my children, not yours, Bishah, Shigdimu, Nasel, Nishma, Krasa, Bini, Bechor Yisrael. At the time that they said Nasa before Nishma, you called them Bini, Bechor Yisrael. My firstborn called Yisrael. Right? It was by Matan Torah, you know. Or the day before, as we were made ourselves ready, call them Bini Bechor Yisrael. Right? The problem is like this: that's not where the pasuk Bini Bechor Yisrael is written. It's Parsha Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu is sent by Hashem to tell Paro to let the people go. To tell Paro Bini Bechor Yisrael, and if you're not going to send out Am Yisrael, Hini Yehonda Ges Bincha Bechorecha. Now letting my firstborn go, I'm going to kill your firstborn. It's in Parsha Shmos. Yeah. No, by, you know, before the Esser Makas. So, well, yeah. What are you talking about when they said Nasa for Nishma? Now, you know, B'ni B'chor Yisro. Right. But it's interesting that, you know, that you know, we could see a connection that by, you know, by Matan Torah, you know, in the, or in our merit of, you know, Nasa for Nishma, we said the day, because that we got the Torah in the very next day. Right. It's called B'ni B'chor Yisro, fitting this theme of, you know, Bechor, Bikurim, Bikurim Maasecha. Right. So, take a look, you know, take a look at the word Bechor. The root of the word is Beis Chaf Resh. The Vav, you know, you don't need the Vav. So, the letter Beis is the second letter of the Aleph Beis, in the when the gematrias are still in the single digits, Aleph Beis Gimel 1, 2, 3, right? Chaf is the second letter when the oisis go into double digits, right? Yud, well, it's 10. Chaf 20. Resh is the second letter when we go into triple digits. Kuf, you know, it's 100. Resh. 200. So it's 2, 20, and 200. No? Something here? Hello, Dovrahu. No? Even though we're talking about the first. Talking about the first. Right? But here, but all these Isis are the second Isis. Right? You would have thought that, you know, the Bechor should be something with an Aleph and a Yud and, you know, and a Kuf. Right? So what's the message? So what's the message? So Dafka, the second Isis.
Takes two. Can't one man alone.
No, sorry, no. Because he, you know, the first, but he's really the second because he's not the source.
Right.
The first is the source. The parent. The parents, you know, the parents' generation, they're the first. No, he's the first of the kids. Right. He's the first of the, he's the first of the second generation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's something I was going to talk about something very important to realize. Right, he's not really the first. He's the first of the next set, but he's not the absolute first because there's the parents. He's the first of the second generation. Right. So now, there's you could invert the letters, and just Beis Reish Chaf. Same, just move them around. Switch the second and third letter, and it's Borech, right? Bracha. Right, the root of the word Bracha. So now that already Chazal address and say, bracha is to have a lot. Bracha starts from two. One is that's no bracha. that's not a lot. A lot starts from having more. Starts from the second. More means and more. The thing, and then there's more. More doesn't start until you reach number two. Bracha. Right. To have more. So that's more understood. So that's what Chazal said. It's a medrash right there in the beginning of the Torah. Right, on the word Bereishis. Why did the Torah start with the letter Beis? Start the Torah with Aleph. Right? It's the beginning, right? So in Torah, especially Torah's Emes starts with an Aleph. Why did Torah start with Beis? It's a medrash. The medrash asked this question. And the medrash says an interesting thing, right? Because there's no bracha in Aleph. It's just one. We want a lot. Aleph is Miloshin Arira, Orur. Orur starts with an Aleph. And that's the opposite of Baruch. I want bracha. Right? So I can't start the world with Aleph because the world, it's Orur. And so that's also what the gematria of Aleph is one. There's no ribui. It's Lashon Arira, it's Orur, and I want Boruch. And that's why the world started with Beis. So the Medrash goes on and says, so the Aleph had time to son HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he should come first, because he's first of the Oisius. Baruch says, I'm going to pay you back by Matan Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's a Medrash. It's a Medrash Rabban. Anochi. Aleph of Anochi. I'm going to start, the formal Torah, because you understand, chronologically speaking, when we got Parshas Bereishis after we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, at the same time, because we were getting the Torah, we also got, Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to write Sefer Bereishis. So for us, it's as if it started from Anochi. Right? And that's when we're licensed, Moshe Rabbeinu gets licensed to give us the Torah and give us, Sefer Bereishis also. And that's why it's called as the Torah starts, with Anochi. For us, it started, historically, with Anochi. That was Matan Torah, and then we're going to get Sefer Bereishis also as one of the books of the Torah. Right? So it's an amazing thing that Medrash is saying that that by Matan Torah we went from Beis back to Aleph. The world was created with a Beis, and we Lashon Bracha, right? And by Matan Torah we get back to Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why should you want to get back to Aleph? The Medrash said in the first part, I can't create the world with an Aleph because there's no bracha in that. So why do you have to get back to Aleph? Aleph feels bad. What can you do?
That's where
I'll try and get back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So this is the interesting paradox that there isn't bracha. So on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, for lack of a better word, make room for others, right? So he hides himself and allows us, have the perception that we have a world and that we're doing and that we're producing and we're, Yigia kapecha kisoichel. right? As if we're making our own living and doing our own thing, and you know, and he wants there to be the, as it were, the illusion that, you know, not to be taken literally. I mean, that's the challenge, that there ki'ilu is oid milvado. There's something outside of him, yeah, where we could feel that we exist and we're doing and we're accomplishing. So what happens when you take that literally, right? I mean, in your own perception, that's how you relate to it. It's me, it's mine, right? Right. So that's when bracha, as it were, you know, self-destructs, right? Because what's really sad about life is, aside from the fact that nothing lasts forever, you're proud of yourself. You made this. That money will get spent. That money could easily go. Right. Nothing you made will last forever. Nothing that you made is safe from being taken away from you. But here's the worst part of it. Even if it doesn't get taken away from you, you don't enjoy it anymore after the first moment. Right. That's right. If it doesn't get taken away from you, right? So, lo mi baya, that, you know, give it, you know, a long time, it'll rot. The fruits, the grain. You know? But even if it doesn't, even before that, it doesn't give you simcha anymore. That's right. You only make shechianu when something's new, right? And if you miss the first day, as long as you're still, you know, be spyless from it, you could still. But after that, you know, you can't make sure it doesn't give you the simcha anymore. Like, you yourself don't want it anymore. You yourself don't like it anymore. That's really what's driving the insane amount of consumerism. It's insane, right? It's because you get no simcha from the car that you have. You get no simcha from the clothes you have. You have to have something new all the time. That's all the time, right? So it's already been said decades ago that they don't bother making quality clothing anymore. Who passes on clothing? You know, you would want to buy something new even before it wears out. So they don't have to make it. They don't have to bother. No, it's true. It's a waste. No, I'm saying this was already said in studies decades ago. Because there's no point. There's no point in making something built to last. Because the person himself is going to want to trade it in, upgrade, you know. Even before it wears out. And that's what's driving the insane amount of, you know, production. It's, stuff that we don't need. Fall collection, winter collection, spring collection, summer collection. Chozer Chalila. It's crazy. No, it's you know, it's true. Yeah, it's you know, once it comes into your grasp, you know, it starts losing its freshness. And, you know, and that's, you know, and that's even before it gets taken away from you, even before it rots. Even, that's it. Right. So. And that happens because things are disconnected from the source, right? Right. So you know, there's, you know, at the moment that it's new, so you have the, you know, you feel the big shift, the big change, right? But then after that, you know, it's the excitement wears off. Right? How do you keep things, you know, fresh? So the Chazal say, someone here mentioned the Lechem Aponim. You know, Lechem Aponim. Because lechem panim lefonai tamid, so it's called. Because it's called lechem panim. It was called lechem panim for a few reasons. It was lefonai tamid. So Chazal tell us, it, you know, even though it was there a whole week, right? It tasted as fresh as if it was just baked, you know, when the kohanim eat it at the end of the week. Right? It's amazing. Why? Because it's lefonai tamid. Because it never gets disconnected from the source. It's by a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Just curious. Just, I don't know if this is a thought or not. Just bring me back to the materialistic things. What was the source? The source, which is the desire, like,
Once we get it, it's separated from the source. What's the source that?
Well, the real.
It's the Yetzer Hara that wanted it. No. It's mankind always trying to strive to get more and more.
Right. So that's correct. No, it may. You know, yes, a lot of these things were already disconnected from the source before you even
right.
got them.
Right.
But it was just for the first instant in the contrast because of going not having it to having it. And in that moment, you have the simcha from it, and that's why it quickly wanes.
Right.
But if you could connect it to the infinite source, it'll be forever fresh.
And that's why we try to get back to Allah.
Yes. Yeah, but of course, you know, it's. But it's, you know, so. And that's why. So, and that's the bracha b'chor duality. It's two because it's more. And we have more. You know, which more starts from two and onwards. You know, one is just the thing itself. More starts from two. Right? But you also have to realize, right, that it's the second, right? The Bechor, right, is the second. There's a source. That's the real first. Right? You always have to not lose sight that the first is the source. That's the Bechor is actually supposed to be more aware than any of the other kids about how he came from his parents, find Lashonos in the Sforim, that the Ben Bechor is closest to his parents, and that's why, it's a very long sugya, in halacha and in philosophically that we don't have time to discuss. Right? There's b'chor mitzada aim and b'chor mitzada av. B'chor mitzada aim is chayv and pidyon haben. It all goes by the mother if it's her first child. The father's one is chayv, but it all goes by her whether it's her, her first. And then there's his first child from wherever, and he's the one who gets pishnaim in nachala. It's interesting. But there's two different types of Bechor. The one that's chayv in Pinyon Ben and the one that gets Pishnaim, and one is totally in the father, one is totally in the mother. Even though the one's totally in the mother, Peter Rechem, is still the chiv is on the father to count for the five slime to give to the coin, but still, it's very interesting. The different Bechinas of Bechor. But either way, there's greater connection, greater obligations on the parent. Right. The Bechor is supposed to be carry, right? This cognizance that he came from parents; he didn't make himself. So, now the truth is like this: All right, but before we get back to Am Yisrael and the Torah, so let's just discuss Bikurim and why we have to daven three times a day. Understand this. So the act of Bikurim, right, in general, that all Klai Yisrael has to do if they had a field and they, the first of the Shiva Saminim have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, right, so the idea, behind that is that you want to bring it back to the source. This is my first fruit. It's not the first. It's really the second. The source is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you reconnect it to the source. And by reconnecting it to the source, right, that's what keeps it perpetually fresh. And the amazing koach that the Bikurim had, that the Bikurim come from the Shiva Saminim, which are connected to seven midas that we call Teva, the 7 weeks of the Omer. It created a sense of freshness for year round, even though it was a once a year event. You brought it any time from Shavuos until however long you're allowed to bring it. Right? But it created a sense of freshness, right? Because when you're eating out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, right? Here's the first fruit. It's the Bechor, but give it back to the Aleph. Give it back to the source. And that way that creates, and that sets the tone for all the rest of what you're going to eat, for the rest of the year. The second, the third, and the fourth, they all come in a challah, down this same series of these firsts that you brought. It sets the tone for the rest of the series. You realize it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You realize it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And then you're not going to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to say Kochim Votzim Yodi. Right? And there also will be real bracha in it. Right? Because, it's this plentifulness is going to be connected to the source. So the source has to make room for the more, but you don't want the more to be disconnected from the source. There won't be any bracha in it either. So bracha involves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, making room for others, but it won't be real, real bracha if those others won't still be connected to the source. And what the Bikurim managed to do once a year can only be missing that. The only thing it could supplement for it is davening every day, three times a day. Maush Keneged, like the Kuzri says, we spoke about this. We also had in Nefesh HaChaim, he brought it from the Zohar. Keneged mealtime. I eat three times a day. Erev Avokev Etzoraim. Right? Always remember, right? There are these three times a day, These are three periods a day. It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he doesn't give, you don't got nothing. And what the Bikurim, the Hakara and the Hashpa, the cognizance that it instilled in our heads and in our hearts and the feeling that and the bracha that it brought could only be supplemented in the lack of becoming davening every single day, three times a day, to keep a perpetual feeling you're eating out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. So you have to ask for it and ask for it and ask for it every single day, three times a day. Thank him three times a day. Ask three times a day and thank three times a day to never forget you're eating out of his hand. And that's where all the bracha comes from, and the bracha is dual, right? That there's first of all bracha in the sense that, like we're saying, if you acknowledge you're eating out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, you don't take it. So that those resources are more protected because you didn't separate them from him. They're more protected. There'll be more bracha in the sense it'll last longer, You'll be more matzliach with it. More matzliach with it. Right? Enjoy it more. Right? But there's also, it'll have spiritual power to it. Ki lo alechem levado yichya adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichya adam. How can you have the motza pi Hashem, like the divine words that are behind that? How are you going to have access to any of that if you're not acknowledging that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking him for it and thanking him for it? That there's also there's a spiritual dimension to everything. There's spiritual power, right? And acknowledging that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the right to access those aspects of it, and in the depth of it, these two aspects that I mentioned, having more simcha and hatzlacha from it, and also that it has spiritual power to it. Everything has spiritual power to it, but you're not going to unlock the spiritual power, and how everything that all the parnasa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you is an act of connection between you and him, right? And you're not going to get there without davening for it three times a day. The truth is that these two aspects are really one, because really the aspect of the resources that will give them kiyum and give them bracha and give them hatzlacha and give you real tanuk from it, not just for the first split second, that's its ruchni side. That's ruchni side. It gets unlocked with the cognizance that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is expressed through tefillah, asking him for it and thanking him for it. And that's what we got from Bikurim once a year. Just once a year. And the only supplement for that is to now, daven. Three times a day, every single day. Amazing. So you see, imagine what the power of Bikurim was. But here's something, cranking it up a level. Legabe the Torah and Legabe Am Yisrael's position as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. We asked, you know, Hare Yitzhak Avinu says, at the time that they said Nasa Vadish, we called them Bini Bechori Yisrael. Now, you know where the Ribon Shel Olam is Bechor. Because going back to the very first word in the Torah, Bereshis, Beis, Loshem Bracha, so what does Rashi say? Bereshis Bishvil Yisrael Shnikru Reshis. U'Bishvil HaTor Shnikru Reshis. We're both called the first, but the first of the second generation. All right, so the Ribon Shel Olam conceived of Am Yisrael at the time of creation of the world. He thought of us, and he thought of the Torah, and of course the two belong together, like a glove on a hand. The Reshis on the Reshis. Of course, it's the rachis of it's b'rachis. It's the first. It's like chor. Right? It's the first of the second generation. Yeah, the Ribon Shel Olam is the real first, right? This is all true, right? You know, the Ribon Shel Olam set up the world this way, right? And whether we acknowledge it or not, everything that happens throughout the world, you know, is all for the Torah and it's all for Klai. So everything is centering around us. It's all for us. Right? It's just the way the world was rigged, right? The way the world was set up, that everything, you know, you want to see a sign of it, speaking of Bikurim, Bikurim is only in Eretz Yisrael. Because only in Eretz Yisrael you can really be zocheh to feel this perpetual newness that comes from accessing the spiritual side of things, which comes from, and it's only in Eretz Yisrael where it's Eretz Asher Hinei Hashem Elokecha Bo, right? So the whole world, is just busy with one thing, right? Eretz Yisrael, the whole world, there are millions of people being killed there, millions of people being killed there, millions of people starving there, and the whole world's just obsessed with the Jews and Eretz Yisrael. So it's true. Everything, we're the central cog of reality. We are the central cog of reality. The Ribon Shel Olam made it that way. It just is. It just is. Right? And the truth is that, whether we acknowledge it or not, we will always be the central cog of reality. Right? Just when we acknowledge it, right? When we acknowledge it, the Ribon Shel Olam gives us bracha and hatzlacha, and the whole world has to see it and swallow it, right? And then that's how, it's demonstrated, right? When we don't acknowledge it, then we're the ball that the Ribon Shel Olam uses to kick around, when he plays off against Yomus Ha'olam, right? We're the ball that gets used in the game. But it's not very pleasant when it goes that way. We're the ball that's used in the game that he's playing off with them and beats them every time. But that's because that's our position in reality. We are the central cog of how everything works. But the question is whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we in our personal reality are connected to it or not. Just like our parnasa. Like we said a second ago, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, are we connected to that reality that it all comes from? Well, we're not connected. But it's still true either way. Just if you don't acknowledge it, so there won't be any, you won't have any bracha from the parnasa that Ribon Shel Olam gives you. Right? But Ribon Shel Olam's agenda in giving you that parnasa for whatever reason, for whatever part, whatever role it plays, cosmically is fulfilled. Just the same. He gets what he wants. We just don't benefit as much as we could because we're not acknowledging. Being makir tov, right? So just like it's that way as far as the parnasa, it's that way as far as our role as being the Jewish people, right? So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and says Bini Bechori Yisrael, right, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So it's a statement of fact, right? It makes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Paro like this, it makes no difference that the Jews are acting the same like the Egyptians. It's a metzias. I made my world, right? And I set up, Bereshis, Bishul Yisrael, it's a reality. The way the world's wired up, it goes through these people. Everything is for them, right? Whether you could see how Am Yisrael is different or not. It's a fact, right? It's a fact, right? It's just a reality, right? All right. what Yitzhak Avinu is saying, that Bizman Shigdimu, Nasa, Nishma, Karasa, and Bnei Bechor Yisrael, that's when we earned it. That's when we earned the title, Bnei Bechor Yisrael. Earned it from our side. From our side. It was always a reality. Right. But by our submission to the Ribon Shom's Rotzen, right, the acknowledgement of him as our king and as the creator, right? That's what caused us that at that time we earned the title Bnei Bechor Yisrael. It always was true, as because that's the way reality is set up. But then there's earning it, owning the title justly. Right? You know, the difference is like this. You know, I think we already articulated the difference, but we'll just put it again in a father-son type relationship. Right, you know, the son that acknowledges the father and is grateful to the father, right? He and the son look at each other face to face, and they have a relationship. And then there's the son that doesn't acknowledge the father, and the father also doesn't acknowledge him, right? But what can you do? A father's a father. He can't cut off a son. Can't cut off. So how's it go? You know. The son looks that way, the father looks that way, but his father throws parnosa over his shoulder. It's a tzair. Basar katfoy, throws it over his shoulder. Achreya ktefan, just throws it, and so it's still a reality the father takes care of the son because can't be otherwise. Can't be otherwise, right? But there's no relationship. So there's a flow of energy, but the flow of it, it's like without the intimacy and without the closeness and without the simcha, right? So Avada Bnei Bechor Yisrael, right? It was always that way. It was always that way since creation itself, right? But at what point do we, Mitzidenu, do we earn that title? And that way we can look the Shechina in the face, right? It won't be Nahamar Kisufa, right? And that was by Matan Torah. Right? That Am Yisrael always said, Nas V'nishra, now they face HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, face to face. Bnei Bechor Yisrael, the Bechor acknowledges, where the Bechor were the second, he's the first. And
can you just repeat, what did Yitzhak say again, way back in the beginning?
When the Ribon Shel Olam went to him and said, Banecha Chatuli, so he immediately retorted, Banai Velo Banai, what, as if they're my kids and not your kids? Bishvan Shikdimu Nasa Nishma, Krasam Bnei Bechor Yisrael. So now this is especially important, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And not just our relationship, but for the whole Metzius of Torah. The whole Metzius of Torah, right? It's an amazing thing about Torah. It never gets old. Right? Now, if we received Torah 3,000 years ago, roughly, should have been very old and very fractured, should have, passing through so many hands, right? You would have thought that, have been reduced to, but it's not that way. We have the Torah. We have the Torah, and Torah keeps on expanding. There's always Chidushei Torah. Right? Where does that vitality come from? Right? And it's despite all the setbacks, Chorban HaBayis and Yerida Sederis, and the Torah's alive. It's alive. So it's a very interesting lashon in Chazal. Throughout Chazal, when Divrei Torah Gishmak, Smechim Kenesinosam, it's as joyous as if we just got it, or Arevim Kenesinosam Misinai. It's an ongoing. It's an expression in Chazal. Oh, that when someone says Geshmak, it was Smechem Kenesinosam, like when it was given, and that's where Sinai is often mentioned over there. Even though Mamara says Smechem Kenesinosam when it's Geshmak, when it's Arev, because you know, the biggest challenge that there is in Matan Torah, you know, I should say, in Kabbalah's Torah, I should say, that is an amazing thing, that Reb Arshim really gave it. He really gave it, to the point that there's halacha of lo bashamayim hi, right, that, you know, as it were, we find, you know, you could argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could argue with him, you know, on how to touch up Tyra, you know, famous, yeah. Everyone knows the famous story of Reb Elazar ben Hurkanus got into a machlokas with all the chachamim about a certain halacha, Tanur Shachnai, and he said, Basko came up, Malachem etzel Elazar beni halacha kamasu b'chol makom. Rabbi Shua got up and said, lo bashamayim hi. They paskin against him. Basko came out. No one doubted that it was a real Basko. You know, it was a real prophetic experience. No one cared, right? It's amazing. So lo bashamayim hi. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu do at that time? So he laughed. Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. Now my kids beat me. He laughed. He thought it was funny. You know, he thought it was, you know, he got hanoah from it. Amazing thing.
But it was for, like,
what
Hurkanus said, or not?
No, we don't care. Like him.
No.
Basko. Oh. You know? Torah was given already. Lo bashamayim hi. It's an amazing thing. That's.
Okay.
All right.
Are you chilly? Is it cold?
All right. That's an amazing thing. Right? All right. So Reb Arshim gave us the Torah. Right? So you have to, he has to give us the Torah that it's by us, but in no way are we going to take the Torah and run away with it, reform it, or what's equally as bad is that the Torah should lose its vitality, like anything that we just take for ourselves. Lose its vitality and lose how it connects to us, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing duality when you think about it. Matan Torah, he gave us the Torah, really. But the trick is, right, to always keep it connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no easy feat. If you are meant to, you know, understand Torah your way, and that's the right thing to do, you know, and come up with your chidushim, right, and still not take it away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Torah should always fulfill its function of keeping us connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to have it without the detriment of what taking for yourself does, like we explained, that it takes away all the vitality. Right, Torah is supposed to be always fresh, always new. Torah is supposed to be alive. Torah is chayim. Divrei Elokim chayim. We say udvorav chayim v'kayamim nechmadim. So we're supposed to have it, right? And still, it shouldn't lose that vitality of being divrei Elokim chayim. Because once you disassociate the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it then just becomes wisdom. It just becomes philosophy. And it would have been trashed years ago. And it survived, you know, millennia. Amazing. Because it still, as we're going to learn Nefesh Chaim, it still remains his dibur, even though it's by us. It never stopped coming, as it were, out of his mouth, as it were. Just, of course, you know, we are focused on having the Torah year-round, and that's Kabbalah's the Torah. And the Kabbalah doesn't renew itself, right? Our having it. There's no newness in having. We have it already, right? The newness is in going back to the source of where it came from, the Matan Torah. That's why it's Chag Matan Torah Seinu, to put all the emphasis on the giving. To reassociate, no, it's the anniversary that Shavuos is to reconnect, you know, even though it's always connected, but in our consciousness, you know, to renew in our consciousness that the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is Nosei Na Torah. And it's true year-round. Hare, we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Nosei Natara. So the Maharal points out, Lashon Hove, present tense, not Nosan. Right? Nosei Natara, present tense. He's still giving it. Just, we're not aware that he's perpetually giving the Torah. Baron Shavuos is the time to become aware again. Just like we're always his Ben Bechor, right? Baron Shavuos is a time to now, from our side of things, we get swept up in things to re-acknowledge our role as being his Ben Bechor, even though it's always true. And it's also always 2 days, the Nosei Natarah, but that's what's Nischadish. Right, and that's what keeps our religion alive. Our religion is alive, right? If chas v'shalom, Judaism would have just been given in an instant, and then the person said, here's some tools, work with it, have a nice day, right? Would have lost its vitality a long time ago. What keeps Yadus, it makes a Torah Chaim, is that it never stopped being from him. It's always connected to him. And that's what it means. It's a special lesson, right? That the Shavuos was, you brought the Shtelechem, that's Matir Chodosh B'Mikdash, Chodosh. Right? This is the big day, this is the Yom HaBikurim. This is the day that, we reconnect everything back to the source. Right? Reconnect everything back to the source. And the whole religion gets reconnected to the source. That's what it means, that it's Matir Chodosh B'Mikdash. That from this point onwards, you're allowed to use newness. I mean, this ushers in newness. What keeps vitality in Judaism? The fact that you acknowledge that it's from the Ribon Shalom. Not Amol from the Ribon Shalom. Now it's from the Ribon Shalom. It's perpetually from the Ribon Shalom. Divrei Torah never stopped coming kivyachol out of his mouth. It never stopped. All right? So... And this is what happens. This is what we get. Chag Matan Torah Seinu is the focus, the focus that the Torah is given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Given, focus on the giver, where it comes from. Focus on the source, and that's what recharges and adds vitality to the Torah of all year long. So Yom HaBikurim, attaching back to the source. The second goes back to the first. The base of Bereshis goes back to the Aleph of Anochi and gets recharged. Recharged. And that's it. Everything gets recharged on Shavuos. Even the Yetzirah. Even the Yetzirah gets recharged on Shavuos. Right? Everything. Everything gets renewed. Everything gets renewed. Because everything goes back to the source. But here's the chap, right? The Yetzer gets renewed because he goes back to the source. When he goes back to the source, he's not so bad. What's wrong with him is that he denies the source. So that happens on Shavuos. Okay. Right? But he goes back to the source. So that's the secret, the Shtei Alechem or Chometz. Chometz represents the Yetzer. Even on this day, even the Yetzer finds his place. Everything goes back to the source. And that's what it says. Chazal tell us, Gemara Shabbos, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Malachim, Shemaim, he had to debate the Malachim because they wanted to bar the giving of the Torah. Not when he, how did he win the argument? But what was the argument? Right? Well, listen, you guys don't have a Yetzirah, man. You don't have an Avveim. You don't have all the problems we have. So what do you need a Torah for? Because all of Torah is coming to address, correcting the ills of the world. You guys don't have any ills. So you have to realize that the Yetzirah is the whole reason why we got the Torah. Yeah, kum kina yesh b'chem, kum sina yesh b'nechem. You guys don't have all the bad meters we have. Right? Because the Torah is there to bring everything back to the Ribon Shalom. Including the Yetzirah. Lav shalkel b'chol v'avcha b'shnei Yetzirecha. No small thing. And then what happened? So the Gemara goes on and says, after that the Malachim were bested in the argument, so kochan, muscle o'dover, everyone gave him a gift. Everyone gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. As the pasuk says, "Akachas matonas ba'adam," and the Gemara says, even the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. He wanted to buy in also, because all the Malachim understood that the tikkun, their tikkun, like we learned in Nefesh HaChaim, even their tikkun is all hinging on us. Torah is going to come to us, and we're going to fix this world and their world, like we learned in Nefesh HaChaim, right? So, you know, so even the Malach HaMavis, he wants in. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu to decide his gift was that Keteris stops a Magefa. That's right. And that's how when the Magefa broke out by Korach, so Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron quickly, like Keteris, Hechel HaNegev, he learned that from the Malach HaMavis himself. When he...
But where's that written, Rabbi Bethlehem?
That's Gemara and Shabbos. Daf Peches, Peches. Right? Shavuos says everything goes back to the source. Even the Yetzer goes back to the source, and it's a renewal of the Bnei Bechori Yisrael. You know, from our side of things, it's always true. You know, but that's you know when we get reconnected to the idea of, that we are Bnei Bechori Yisrael, right? And that you know, and just like we get connect to it, the whole Bria becomes connected to it, and even the angels of this Umasom, they all throw in. They all want to buy into Klal Yisrael. Even the Malach HaMavis wants to buy in. You know, that day, everything goes back to the source. Everyone realizes, you know, for an instant, you know, what the score really is. You know, even though that's the score really year-round, but there's no cognizance of it. Mm-hmm. We're always being because of it, but the cognizance of it, the renewal of it for us, right? Right? You know, so that we were Makabal Torah, of course, we have a couple, Kibul HaTorah we've had, you know, and that doesn't get new. What gets new is the Nesina HaTorah. Understand that it's from the Ribon Shalom. That's what renews itself on Shavuos. That's the theme of the Bikurim. That's the... and that's our role of Bnei Bechori Yisrael. It's also part of the theme of Yom HaBikurim. Bnei Bechori. Right? All that gets renewed on Shavuos. You know, renewed from our perspective. That's what we have on Shavuos. We don't have year-round. Right? The special connection to the source, and that's what, and it's supposed to spill over the whole year, right? The newness that we should feel always chidush and chius from Torah, from Avodas Hashem, should never get old. Should never, you know, should always feel that it's always perpetually connected to the source, and that's why it's a living religion that will never die, because it's connected to the source. That's why it's a living religion and it's a living Torah that will never die, never get extinguished, never be forgotten. Right, that's what gets renewed on Shavuos, and it's also our status as the ones that Rebbe Shlomo gave the Torah to, our status of Bnei Bechori Yisrael, even though it's true year-round, the Rebbe Shlomo already designed the world that way, but that we are connected to that reality, and we remember who we are, we remember what our mission is, right, as a hischatzus of our role of the Jewish people, which includes a hischatzus of anti-Semitism, right? Chazal said, yeah, it also, yeah, the two go together, you know, that's what Gemara says. Same place. It's called Har Sinai. Shisham Yarda Sina La'akum. You know, from that point onwards, there's hatred in the world. You know, Roshim hates the Goyim hate Klai. So Misha is Har Chorev Miyam Yarda Chorben La'akum. It's there, you know, Chorev brings Chorben onto the Goyim. It's a renewal of our role of the chosen people that everyone is jealous of and hates, right? It all renews and gets fresh, you know, for us from... You know, because during the year round we forget it. This is what we get from Shavuos, and this is how Shavuos energizes the whole year. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi Kahn. It was